Sometimes we allow circumstances to control us. It even hits our faith so hard, sometimes we deny and walk away from Christ. We got to remember, His love is an everlasting love. His love for us, His grace for us is sufficient. It's more than just religion. I know that some of you may feel let down at times, even wronged because of what life dishes out. Sometimes life will dish out a problem, a trial that's too heavy, and you'll say, "Where are you, God, in all this?" Not realizing that just like Job, that life happens. See, today I pray, may God restore your faith that the devil tried to steal from you. The Bible says that that Jesus came to give life. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life more abundantly. I know that many of you here must choose to forgive in the year of 2019, just as you must be forgiven. If you've fallen away from Christ, this is the day you get back to Him. All I know is I had a debt I couldn't pay, and He paid it for me. That's all I know. I know simple things, that I had a big debt, and Jesus paid that debt on the cross. I hope and pray you'll bring those debts that you have and let grace do its work, let mercy do its work, let God's love do its work. And the Bible says that He takes our sins and He places them in the bottom of the ocean, never to remember it again. That's why I say grace has no memory. Everyone is welcome at the cross. I say, but not me. You don't know me. Everyone is welcome at the cross. We have a Redeemer that lives. You see, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was His love. His love was nailed. That's what nailed Him to the cross. That's what held Him at that cross. His love for you. His relentless pursuit of your soul. His absolute unconditional love pinned Him to the cross for you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 8, it says, "Now when the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come to anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said amongst themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed, but he said to them, 'Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid Him? Go tell the disciples,' he said. 'And make sure you tell Peter that he is going before you in Galilee. There you will see him, and he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled to the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." We want to tell you a story, the greatest miracle that ever happened. That was the resurrection of Christ. This story is nothing more than a story of second chances. How many of you needed a second chance and God came through for you? It's the real story of Easter, because sometimes we don't like to talk about the real stuff. The real stuff is that we deny Christ. So the real stuff is that sometimes our hearts get far from God. The real story is that He loves us. If you notice, He only mentions Peter's name. He says, "Call the disciples, tell the disciples." But oh! Peter, remember, Peter had issues. Peter had a lot of issues, but Peter was called by God. See, Peter, though he had issues and he fell away for a moment and was confused for a moment, we know that Peter understood that he had a call of God in his life, that Peter had a purpose, that Jesus had singled him out. Just like even in a crowd like this, He singles you out. You might feel insignificant in a crowd. You might feel insignificant in your family, but you have a call of God too. Peter had a call, but not just a call. He had a call with purpose. And I want you to know that you have a purpose too.
Have you ever thought there's more to life than this? Every day we come out to this sea and we fish. But lately, I've been feeling like there's more to life. Almost as if we were created for a purpose.
Peter, leave your nets and come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Peter, come on. Snap out of it, man.
Hey, I'm sorry, Pastor Anthony. Got a lot of things on my mind right now.
Like what?
You know, I've been here for 10 years. You've been coming here for 6 months to tell us about the good news, about Jesus. But I get out next week. Got a little girl out there. Got a wife. Nothing good's ever happened to me. I don't know what it's going to be like this time.
Look, Peter, don't trip about that. You got to remember, God has a plan.
He has a plan. Check it out. My dad, he did all his life in prison. You know what? I'm following in his same footsteps. Is that God's plan for me?
Peter, you got to know that you've been called for a purpose. I've been coming here for 6 months, and already I'm seeing a huge difference in you. Your wife and your daughter, they've been coming to church. He's doing something in their lives too.
You know what? I need a plan. I need a purpose in my life. I don't want to ever come back to this place. I want to see my daughter grow up. I want to be a good husband to my wife.
Peter, you know, you need to give your life to Jesus.
You know, I've been coming here for 6 months, and maybe you're thinking that I'm not paying attention or anything, but a lot of the stuff that you're saying makes a lot of sense. And if God can do something in my life, I think I'm ready to give Him a chance.
Okay. Well, all you got to do is say this prayer. You ready?
You see, there's no greater miracle than when a life is touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes a person is behind the walls, and sometimes they're in a prison in their mind. We don't realize sometimes that we're in such need because of our busy lives and because everything's going around us. And some of you are in school, and some of you are in college, and some of you are working on the grind every single day. But I'm here to declare to you this morning that wherever you're at, we all need Jesus. That scene is a miracle. Because a wife, a mama, a daughter praying for their daddy, praying that he would get it right once and for all and quit messing around. And guess what? God heard their cry. God heard their prayer, because that's what He does. He hears the cry of His people. He hears the cry when we pray. Listen, prayer is a powerful tool. Sometimes we don't use it. You see, and the call of God is for right now. You see, no greater time than now. And He doesn't just call us, but He does a miracle in our lives. When I got saved 31 years ago, it was a miracle. My family received a miracle because they had been praying for 10 years relentlessly on the ground. I mean, I used to come home and find them crying on the ground for their daddy, crying for their husband. My mom and dad were praying for me, my family. There was people that are even in this congregation that was part of Victory Outreach 32, 33 years ago that my name was being prayed for. And it seems like I got worse and worse and worse, but one day on a cold Thanksgiving morning, there was a miracle. See, God's always up to something. He's always working miracles out. There's a story in the Bible of a blind man. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the Bible says, "Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'"
Jesus,
sir, I'm gonna need you to quiet down. The master is very busy right now.
Please, Jesus, help me.
Let him come. My son, what is it that I can do for you?
I want to see.
My son, go your way. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Most of us have experienced miracles. Most of us have seen God do something in our lives. Maybe it was that car wreck that you were in 18 years ago, and you know you should have died in that car wreck, but you didn't. Or maybe some of you got diagnosed with a disease. We have one gentleman in our church that had hepatitis C. And just a short 5 years ago, he sowed a resurrection seed. The doctor says, "You have a bad liver, you have hepatitis C, and the outcome doesn't look good." But he sowed a seed, a resurrection seed, and just not long after that, he went to the doctor. Within 6 months, the doctor says, "Sir, we cannot find the hepatitis C in your body anymore." That's 5 years ago. Still doesn't have any hepatitis C. Liver's good. You see, we see miracles all the time. A lot of people don't realize how powerful our God is. I think we think that miracles were only for the book of Acts or way back in there, but with the Gospels. But miracles are for today. We've got to stand and believe. That's why next week we're having Miracle Sunday. Because we believe by faith that something great is going to happen. Bring the lame. Bring the friend. Bring the lost. Bring the sick next week. You see, we've been about a couple of months ago, a good friend of mine I had lunch with. And he said this to me. He says, "Pastor," we talked about a bunch of different things. At the end, he says, "I have a friend of mine who has a little girl who has terminal cancer. They're telling her, she's 7 years old, they're telling her she's not going to live but a few more months. I'm asking you, can you pray for her, please, Pastor?" I said, "Of course I will." And that was the end of our conversation until I said, "Wait a minute, let's pray right now. And I'm going to make a commitment, me and my wife, and I'm going to talk to my prayer team. And in fact, I'm going to go further. I'm going to ask our church to begin to pray for little Myla." And we begin to pray, right, church? We even got these little bands that say Team Myla. And we put them on and we begin to pray every service, every Wednesday night. Oh, we have great Wednesday night services. And every Sunday morning, we begin to pray. Every service, at the beginning of the service, we lift up Myla to you, Lord. We're proclaiming a miracle over her life. I want you to know that just about a month and a half ago, I got a text from my friend. I've been getting texts. She had been getting a little bit better through the year, but still they were reluctant to say she was healed. But about a month and a half ago, I got a text. I couldn't help but run to my wife and say, "Look at my text." He says, "I want you to know that Myla was just enrolled in school." I got another text with a picture 2 weeks ago that showed her smiling next to her dad smiling. Because I think your dad might have kind of been losing his faith a little bit. His dad was smiling, and she has hair now. It's not too long yet. You think God still does miracles? You know, I was sharing with the drama team yesterday about miracles. I said, number of years ago at Five Points, not the one with the dome, but the first building of Five Points, they brought a blind man with a stick just like that to the church. And Sister Francis says, Pastor, would you pray for him? He wants to see again. You can imagine as a pastor with a lot of faith, I looked at that situation. In that very moment, I had to make a decision. Is fear going to get at me and say, I'm going to pray for him, nothing's going to happen? He's blind. He has crusted over eyes. He has a blind stick. Or do I lay hands on this guy and believe for the miracle? And as they got the oil, I'll never forget this. I stood out to the end of the platform, and as I went to go lay hands on him, before I could even touch him, I heard something like this. Like a click sound. In that very moment, the crust left his eyes, and he began to yell out just like this man and said, I can see! And he began running around the church. He had been blind for 7 years. A snake had bit him, and he went blind with the venom. God had given him a promise that he was going to get healed. And on that day, he got healed. Why am I sharing this? Because we believe that the greatest miracle that ever happened was that Jesus paid a price on the cross, rose from the dead, and gave us a way out, and gave us a model for miracles. Restoring a family? Oh, there's no greater miracle to me. You know how I know that? Because I've experienced it. Seen a miracle happen with a mama and a little girl just hoping and praying that things would change, that things would be different from being lonely and fatherless. That's a miracle.
When is Dad getting here, Mom?
You know, he's going to be here any minute. I mean, they said they left about 20 minutes ago, so pretty soon.
On the next scene.
Do you think he'll remember me? What if he doesn't like me?
Trent, this is your dad. I know he's been gone, but he's going to like you. You're a great kid. He's going to love you. We've been praying. Pastor Anthony's been visiting him every week. See you soon.
Mom, I think I hear him.
You do?
Hey. You know, I'm so glad that I'm finally home. Look at you. You're so beautiful. I am so happy to finally be home. It's been a long 10 years.
And we're so glad you're here. We've been praying for you. We're going to this church.
Well, you know, Pastor Anthony went to visit me the last 6 months that I was in. And I made a decision about a week ago to give my life to Jesus.
We were praying for this. We've been praying for this.
Well, you know, I believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. We're finally going to be a family.
You see, that's a miracle. Sometimes we're looking for miracles that with big signs and wonders and things from the sky, but there is no greater miracle than a family restored. If you need restoration for your family, God can restore it. And maybe you say, Pastor, I have a great family, but there's something missing in you. There's something, just that one thing that fulfills you. God has a miracle for you too. You see, trials can hit us hard. When I think about the trials that I've been through in my life, when I think about the tragedies we've experienced, I remember when I was young, man. I at 16 years old, I had a phenomenal encounter with Christ. I really, really fell in love with the Lord, and I wanted to serve God bad. But the conditions at my house were not the best. My dad was in and out of rehab, in and out of institutions. My surrounding friends and everybody I knew, my own family, were involved in all kinds of things. And it was inevitable. That beautiful call, that beautiful pull towards God, it wasn't long until my selfishness, until my sins got the best of me, until everybody around me pulled the world, the cares of the world pulled me right back into it. I lost my faith. I denied Christ. See, we all deny him at one time or another. We somehow in some way deny him, maybe in our minds or our hearts. Sometimes we walk away when tragedy hits our life. I know this. I don't want to ever deny him again.
Hey, I know you. Aren't you a disciple of Jesus?
Hey, aren't you one of Jesus' followers?
You two must be drunk. You got me confused with someone else.
No. Hey, everybody, this is one of Jesus' followers.
No, I'm not. You don't know what you're talking about. Now leave me alone. Don't speak to me anymore.
Tragedies happen. Denial will happen. Because Peter, his life was shaken because of the cross. Jesus was taken to trial. He lost his way. But sometimes we look at back then and say, how does it relate to me? Well, think about the tragedy this Peter is about to go through right now.
That looks like you right here.
I think I'm going to go ride my skateboard, Mom. Dad, do you want to come watch me?
You know what, Mija? Give me a couple of minutes. Let me just look at this these pictures. And I'll be right out there, okay?
Okay.
Be careful, mija. What's that?
Oh my God!
Trinity! God, are you serious? I knew nothing good could ever happen in my life. She told me, Dad, can you go watch me? And now she's in the hospital in a coma and they don't know if she's going to make it. Is this the plan you had for me, God? After everything I've already been through, I thought things were going to get better. I thought I was finally going to have my wife and daughter, and now this. God, why? Why does stuff like this have to happen to me?
Peter, I just heard. I came right away. How is she?
My daughter, Pastor Anthony. She's innocent. She ain't done nothing to nobody. She don't deserve this. They don't know if she's going to make it. Is this the plan God had for me?
Peter,
I want nothing to do with your God.
Peter, you have to understand. These things happen. Accidents happen. You have to just trust him.
Trust him? When stuff like this happens? Honest, you're going to sit there and you're going to stand there and tell me to trust him? But my daughter's laying in a hospital bed. They don't know if she's going to make it. Doctors are telling me they don't know if she's going to make it.
Peter, you have to believe that God can do miracles. You have to believe that he's going to bring her through this. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross.
You think about what Jesus went through. We look at our own trials. We look at what he went through for us, for you, for me. You know what's crazy is that for a moment everybody was shouting Hosanna, King of Kings. And just not even a week later, they were shouting Crucify. This is the same people who he touched their heads and their bodies were made whole. The same people that he fed. The multitudes. The same people that he loved on and cared for and got their children in there and blessed the children. The same people who hallowed his name and shouted and said, oh, what a good man he is. The people that followed him along the streets. Same people who begged him to come pray for their loved one. Not long after that, they began to spit on him and ridicule him as they tore the pieces of flesh off of his body with the whip as they laid him on the cross and nailed him to that cross. Like I said before, it was his love that nailed him to the cross, not those 9-inch nails. It was his love that pinned him to that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. But every bit of love that he had for you and I, every bit of love that he had for all of humankind, allowed him to stay on that cross because he loved you. Because he loves you now, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been.
Come on, Peter. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we trust you.
Peter.
What?
I've been looking for you, Pastor. I'm so glad you're here.
Okay. What?
No, listen. I was at the hospital. It's a miracle.
What, God? What now?
No. Okay, the doctor, he said about a coma. She was going to be in a coma. They didn't know if she was going to wake up. I was praying, Pastor. I was there praying.
What did he say?
Well, the doctor didn't even have to say anything. Her breathing changed, and she began to wake up.
What?
No, she's waking. She's awake.
Where?
She's in the hospital.
Well, let's go.
Let's
guys,
go see her.
You know, this is what happens when you trust God. We have to know that he's the one that does this.
They didn't know if she was going to wake up. She's awake.
Let's go.
Let's go.
When I think about the resurrection, I think about a second chance. My life was resurrected, man. Yesterday, as I was amongst all the people out there in the park, I walked around and I looked in the eyes and the faces of people. And I thought, God, it was a day when I had no hope. God, it was a day when my wife had no hope. When my little girls, my beautiful little girls had no hope. It's a long time ago, so it seems like that never happened. It seems like that was so long ago that, wow, God has blessed us so much that it seems like that was never really part of the story, but it was. The story was tragic, but God took a tragedy and turned it into a miracle. Sometimes things happen in your lives, man, and then maybe something has happened recently. Last weeks or months or years, maybe in the past decade, you can't get over it. You can't forgive, or you can't move past. Let me tell you something. Failure is never final, and there's always a miracle for you when tragedy hits you or your family. If you've denied the Lord, you better know this, that if Peter can restore, Jesus can restore Peter after denying him three times. Before the rooster even crowed, he denied him. He said he wouldn't, but he did. That was his humanity. That's our humanity sometimes. Like, see, we don't all out sometimes deny him. But our actions and the way we are, sometimes we deny him. But if you've denied him, he's a savior of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. There is no resurrection, my friends, without the cross. I'm going to ask you if you'd bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Just for a few more moments of your time, please. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. And I don't want nobody looking around. And I want them to sing a verse of this song.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was dishonored, so you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone my life.
You thought I was worth saving.
Call an altar call for those of you that have never surrendered your life to Christ. God got you here to this room this morning for a reason. You see, this is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day of salvation for you. This is the day you recognize how much you need God for the very first time in your life. The second person I want to talk to this morning is a person who says, I know the Lord. I know God. But for some reason, I just can't seem to get it together, and I keep on kind of veering off to the left or the right. I'm not all out denying him. I love him, but I just can't seem to get it. The third person I want to talk to is the one who, hey, you know, you're doing pretty good. Life is good. Where's God? Where is God? Where's God in your life? What, does he control every moment of your day, or do you control every moment of your day? The last person I want to talk to is the one that you're absolutely doing good. You're not denying Christ. You're with God. But there is something missing in your life. There's a lack of purpose. You go through the 9 to 5 every day, the grind every weekend, every day. You go to church, you go to work. But there's something missing. You know what's missing is purpose. You know what fulfills a man or a woman? If you survey people that are in their 90s and you ask back and say, what would you do different? They say, I'd find more purpose in my life. I was purposeless. I just went along my days and my years, and they passed. So if you've never received Christ, if you've never surrendered to God, I want to pray for you. If you have, but you've fallen away and denied Christ, today's your day. Just like Peter had his day, get back to God. Thirdly, if you say, I believe God. I'm not denying Christ, but I'm not right where I need to be at. Or if you say, I have no purpose. I love God. I really do, but I'm not fulfilling anything in my life. I want purpose. I want God to show me my purpose. I want to ask him to sing this song again. And I want to open up for those of you that say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want you to lift your hand right now. Just say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need Jesus for the very first time. I need to come back to Jesus. Or you know what? I just need to get on the right track. I'm good, but I got to get on the right track. Or you might say, you know what? I'm good, but I don't have no purpose. I'm going to ask you if you lift your hands to me and wave them at me. I'm going to ask you to sing this. And I want to open up this altar. And I want you to come. I want you to find a place right here. Don't be embarrassed of the Lord. Just come. Step out of your seat. Come and meet me right here. Because we serve a God that not only just clean you up, but deliver God that can give you purpose. from all over this place. There's room for you right here at this altar.
So I can be free. So I can be whole.
God loves you. God has a plan for you.
You thought I was worth saving. No, you came. So you came and changed my life.
You thought I was worth saving.
So you picked me up inside.
You thought I was too. Yes, you did.
So you sacrificed your life.
So I could be free. So I could be home. So I could tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.